Thank you, Brother Roddy. And good evening. Good to see each one out tonight. I appreciated the every song, every piece. Had something to say about what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Exodus chapter 16. Sure glad to see each one out. Again, I say, I know you could have been somewhere else. And we have a lovely number tonight. We thank you for coming. And if you could make it out, as Brother Roddy said on Tuesday, we'd appreciate it so much. Tuesday night, Lord willing, we plan to be looking at Benjamin, a type of Christ. Exodus chapter 16. We're going to break in right at verse 1. Exodus 16 and 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to our full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. One verse in John's Gospel, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. I think it's verse 51. John 6 and 51. All right, we got it. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each heart gathered tonight. Someone has said, if you want to be distressed, look within. And I'll tell you, if you look within tonight, it will cause you to be distressed. We see the wickedness of sin, even the evil thoughts that come in our hearts. If you want to be defeated, look back. And that's what the children of Israel did. They were always looking back. If you look back, you'll be defeated. Someone has said, if you want to be dismayed or alarmed, look ahead. And if you try to look ahead to the future, you will be alarmed. It's enough for the present. What we see around us. And if you want to be distracted, look around. And as we look around us tonight, we see sin rampant everywhere we turn. Even you're not to get on the television. Even right here in this community. If you want to be distressed, distracted, look around. You want to be disappointed, look to man. And many a person has been disappointed because they look to man. But if you don't want to be defeated, you don't want to be distressed and dismayed and distracted and disappointed, you want to be delivered tonight, friends, I tell you, look to Christ. He's the one that can deliver you from your sin. And if you want to be delighted tonight, look up. Because those of us who are Christians tonight, that's where our Savior is coming from heaven. That's where our redemption is going to be from. Tonight I want to look at the man as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look at his necessity. Why it was needed. We want to look at its source, from whence it came. Then we're going to look at the results of the manna. First, its necessity. A starving people in the wilderness. These people were almost at the point of death. Out in the wilderness, I'll tell you, it was no Publix. It was no food fair or in the supermarket. There was nothing could be found to eat. A starving people. That's why it was necessary. They were destitute. A picture of man by nature, isn't it? And friend, tonight, if you're here without Christ, you're destitute without life. 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son, hath not life. Friends, that's simple language. That's not hard to understand, is it? If you don't have the Son, God's Word says you don't have life. And if you don't have life tonight, you're destitute. I'm talking about spiritual life. That's simple. You either have the Son of God or you don't. Eternal life is not found in education. Many put it in front of that. It's not found in philosophy. It's not found in good works. Many try that. No, it's not found in religion. And it's even not found in the church. But in the Son of God. Friends, tonight, if you refuse the Son of God, you refuse life. That's plain. It can't get any plainer than that. A child here tonight can understand that. When Jesus says, you will not come to me that you might have life. That's sad. That's sad tonight. God has given you opportunity after opportunity and you have still not come to his Son for life. And the scripture says, because of the hardness of their hearts, they rejected Christ. Friend, tonight, if you haven't received it, it is because of the hardness of your heart. And you still refusing him tonight. As I said this morning, the real fault today is not in Christ. No flaw in him, but it's a matter of the will. Your will tonight. Whether you're willing to come. You see, as I said this morning in the Bible class, people love their sin more than the Savior. And that's sad. That's sad. They were destitute without life. But they were destitute without peace. They had no peace. And if you're here tonight without Christ, the scripture says, this is what the scripture says, Romans 3:17, the way of peace they have not known. But friend, tonight I want to introduce you to one who can give you peace. And that one is Jesus Christ. You'll have peace like you've never known before. You could lie down in your bed tonight and know whatever turns out. If you were to die, absent from the body, will be present with the Lord. Friend, you don't have peace tonight if you're without Christ. And man will never have peace with himself until he has peace with God. He'll never be at peace with his fellow man because he has not made peace with God. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. For the righteous, for the Christian, I tell you tonight, it's peace. You could know this peace, but you'll never know it whenever you continue in your sin. Man by nature is destitute without life. He's destitute without peace, and he's destitute without hope. You don't have any hope in this life, nor in the life hereafter. See, if you're without Christ, Ephesians 2:12 says, and without Christ, and having no hope without God in the world. And tonight, if you're without Christ, you're hopeless. No hope for the future. No hope beyond the grave. Surely, your outlook must be bleak tonight if you don't have a hope tonight in Christ. It must be a sad thing to be without Christ and to be have no hope and to be separated from God and from family and from friends forever if you go out of this life without it. It must be sad, a sad thing. Destitute. Without life. Without peace. Without hope. And destitute tonight without excuse. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of them from creation, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, every person has sufficient knowledge of God to make him responsible to God. Even the ones who have not heard the clear gospel like you've heard tonight. He says, I've given them creation. But you know what? They worship the creation instead of the Creator. Creation demands a Creator. Design demands a designer. They could just look at the sun, moon, and stars and know there's a God. But friends, tonight you don't even find yourself in that condition if you're here tonight and lost. You've heard the gospel so plain, dozens of times and probably hundreds of times. And tonight, you're without excuse. Romans 2:1 says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. And Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now you have no excuse for your sin. If Christ had not come, you would not be guilty tonight of rejecting him. But he did come. And now, friend, you have no excuse tonight. No excuse. You're destitute tonight without excuse. Friend, if you don't have the Savior, you're destitute without God tonight. It says, having the understanding, Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through ignorance, that is, them because of the blindness of their heart, alienated because of sin, born in sin, a great distance from God tonight. You're destitute tonight if you find yourself like that. And tonight, if you're not trusting Christ, you're destitute without escape. They said words. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Friends, I tell you solemnly tonight, there is no escape. If you go out of this life without Christ, there is no way out. You're stuck forever in hell. As I said last Sunday, it's no doors in hell. It's no exits in hell. And you'll be in a place where there is no escape. And in Romans 2:3, it says this, and thinkest thou this, O man, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? No, friend. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. It's no getting around it. It's judgment. Mr. Finney, a young lawyer, just finishing school, found himself one morning in a whole office, and he was finishing up his course, and he felt as if the Lord was speaking to him. And he felt as if the Lord was saying, Mr. Finney, what are you going to do with your life? Mr. Finney says, I said, I'm going to practice law. Then what, Mr. Finney? Well, I hope to get rich. Then what, Mr. Finney? I hope to retire. Then what, Mr. Finney? I guess I'll die. But then what, Mr. Finney? And Mr. Finney says the words came trembling out of my lips. The judgment! Friend, tonight, after death, the judgment. No reincarnation. Everyone will be judged. But friend, you don't have to go through that judgment tonight. I'm here to tell you tonight that you could miss that, because you could find Christ tonight as your Savior. Why not tonight? I plead with you. You should have heard the brethren praying in that office tonight for you. Names were called. Hearts were broken. Longing to see you saved. Why not tonight? Why not come and trust Him tonight? Its source, we looked at the necessity. But its source, it was from heaven. And verse 4 of the chapter we read says, I will rain bread from heaven. Every good and perfect gift cometh from heaven, doesn't it? John 6 and 33 says, For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. True bread is in no other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who came, we've been singing about it tonight, and gave himself for us. He's so much better than natural bread. That only can satisfy for a time, right? But Jesus Christ can satisfy for eternity. The living bread. Wouldn't you rather have that tonight? Things of this world are going to pass on. But salvation will last forever. You know, the manna was only intended for the children of Israel. None of the other nations around received it. But what a difference with the heavenly manna. Christ came to save the whole world. Friends, that includes you tonight. That included me tonight. Why not trust Him tonight? Its source was from heaven. Its giver was God. Verse 4 says, The Lord said, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven. John 6:38 says this, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. You see, He came from God. Just like that manna came down from heaven. So the Lord Jesus says He came because He was sent from God. Its source, its giver was God. John 6 and 37 says this, and Brother Allison mentioned it tonight in his prayer out in the office. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that good news tonight? Him that cometh. That's man's responsibility. That's your responsibility tonight to come. To receive. To come and receive His salvation. God's responsibility is to give it to you. And He says, if you come, He will give it. John 3:17, For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God could have sent Him to condemn the world, you know. But He didn't. Praise God for that tonight. He sent Him that you and I might be saved. But tonight, you see, you may be finding yourself here tonight and you're still not saved. Why not? What's holding you back tonight? We looked at the source. It was from God. He was the giver. It came from heaven. The description says it was white. It speaks of purity, doesn't it? Verse 31 says it was like coriander seed and white. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Purity. Peter says He did no sin. No guile was found in His mouth. Paul says He knew no sin. John says in Him there was no sin. That perfect one, that pure one, friend, tonight, was made sin. Took my dirty sin, your dirty sin. took it on him that you might be made clean, that I might be forgiven and you might be forgiven tonight. How could you turn one like that away tonight? How could you turn one like that away? Someone like that meets our needs tonight, meets our condition tonight. Perfect Son of God. And it says it was small in verse 14. It was a small round thing. That speaks of humility, doesn't it? Philippians 2:8 says, speaking of the Lord Jesus, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself and became a man just like us, apart from sin, and became obedient unto death. That cursed death of a cross, that you and I might never have to taste that, that we might be able to spend eternity with him. Friend, how would you turn someone like that away tonight? His death was a voluntary death, wasn't it? He said over and over, I lay down my life. I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. But it was a vicarious death. It was for me, and it was for you tonight. But praise God, it was also a victorious death, because he rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, and is now seated at the right hand of God and I. He was the one who sold all that he had, gave all that he had, to buy that pearl of great price, me and you. How could you turn one like that away tonight? It's humility. And then in verse 14 it says it was round. A small round thing. This reveals two things to us tonight. The eternity of Christ's being and the evenness of his character. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I think what it really meaning is the Word was with God really means that the Word was always God. Colossians 1:17 says he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Christ existed. Prior to creation, he is the great I am tonight. His eternal being. And the evenness of his character. Perfect. Without a flaw. And Brother Frank mentioned it this morning at the Lord's Supper. This is my well-beloved Son, the Father could say. In whom I am well pleased. But it was free, you know, a free gift. Verse 15, Moses said, this bread which the Lord had given you, it was free. For God so loved the world. What a picture of Christ that he gave his only begotten Son. It's free tonight, friend. It cost God everything. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his very life. But it's free tonight. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, see, it's a gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, sin always pays wages, doesn't it? And it pays a drastic one. Death. Death. And in that verse, we see that death is earned, but eternal life is a free gift. Why not receive it tonight? Two masters in that verse, sin and God. Two methods, wages or free gift. Two results, death or eternal life. Friend, tonight you could have eternal life. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Dr. McLean tells a story of a beggar who stopped a lawyer on one of the large streets, busy streets, in the United States. As he stopped the lawyer, the lawyer looked up into his face and said, don't I know you from somewhere? The beggar says, yes, I was your schoolmate. Oh, he says, Sam, it's so good to see you. I now recognize you. And he, without hesitation, he wrote him a check for $100. Sam went on down to the bank with tears filled in his eyes to cash the check. And as he looked in the window, he saw the tellers dressed so neatly. He saw the place kept so clean inside, the interior so clean, and he looked at his shabby clothes and his unshaven beard. He says, they won't cash that check from me. They'll think that I frauded that check. They'll think I'm a tramp. I'm no good. They won't cash it. He didn't go in. The next day they met again in the street. The lawyer friend said, hey, Sam, what did you do with my $100? Did you gamble it? Did you drink it up? He says, no. He told him a story. I went to the bank and didn't think that they'd cash the check because he looked like a tramp. And this is the words the lawyer friend said to him. Man, my friend, it doesn't matter about your clothes. It doesn't matter about your appearance. All that matters is my signature at the bottom. Man, go cash the check. Friends, I say to you tonight, God is saying to you tonight, it doesn't matter how much you're sinned. Go cash the check. I've given my son his signature's at the bottom. And it's his precious blood. I say tonight, young man, young lady, go cash in on it. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until it's too late. I trust tonight that you will receive him. Verse 31 of chapter 16, it says it was sweet. Tasted, it was like, it says they tasted, it was like wafers made with honey. You know, only those who tasted knew. Friends, I say tonight, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good. He's given you another chance tonight. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. God's words are sweet, sweeter than honey, it says. Honey is sweet, but God's words are sweeter. My time is almost gone. It was within reach of all. It lay on the ground. Even a child could reach down without bending low to get it. Friend, tonight, it's in reach of you tonight. God's salvation is in reach of you if you will just humble yourself as a little child. Put away your pride. So many tonight are in hell because of pride. And why not just put that aside and trust him tonight? Whosoever will, let him take up the water of life freely. Its results as we close. It was gathered early. And Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. While it's still opportunity, come tonight. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But the result was it satisfied. Friends, I'll tell you tonight, Jesus can satisfy the heart. Gladness and peace he will impart if you will and trust him tonight. We used to sing when I was a boy in Sunday school, there's no satisfaction without salvation. I'll tell you, Christ can satisfy you tonight if you will trust him. And it sustained him all the journey. Christ will sustain you tonight all through your journey of life if you will trust him. I read this short story some time ago, and I thought it was appropriate with what we've been saying tonight. It's entitled, All I Have Is Yours. In one of Dr. Wilbur's campaigns, a young man got up in a meeting and gave a remarkable testimony. He says, I got off at Pennsylvania Depot as a tramp. I was a beggar. I begged for a living for 1 year. One day I met a gentleman. I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, sir, will you give me a dime? Then I looked at the man's face and I realized it was my father. I said, Daddy, don't you recognize me? He says, my son, I've been looking for you for 18 years. All I have is mine. That young man, as he was giving his testimony, said, friends, consider that. I was asking my father for a dime. And for 18 years, he was looking for me. He says, son, all I have is yours. Friends, tonight, God is with outstretched arms. And I don't know how many years he's been looking for you. Maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 50, maybe 60 years. And he's saying to you tonight, all I have is yours. Will you receive it tonight? Let us pray. Friends, in the quietness of this moment tonight, I tried to tell you God's love. I tried to warn you not to go out of this life without receiving it. I trust that you'll be wise tonight. Trust that you'll be kind to your soul. Don't go out of this life without Christ. As I said at the beginning of the message, there's no escape. There's no escape. Right where you're seated tonight. I don't have to ask to raise your hand. I don't have to ask you to come forward tonight. But right where you're seated there, you see, why don't you just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm tired of my sin. I believe you went to Calvary and paid for my sin in full. I now repent of my sin. I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, save me. You know what? He'll do that. Right where you're seated tonight, don't wait to get outside and the hustle and the bustle. Satan will snatch away to see. Why not tonight? Why not? Father, we realize again tonight that we cannot create one anxious thought and one single heart here tonight. But we know that your precious Holy Spirit can. And we pray, Spirit of God, tonight you'll continue to move in hearts tonight. We pray that you'll give someone here tonight or ones who has never trusted you the courage tonight to say, I'll take him tonight as my Savior. I'll receive him. I'm tired of my sin. I want that peace, Brother Freddie's been talking about. I want that peace that you tell us in your word, that life, that hope tonight. Oh God, we pray that some will do that tonight before they leave the meeting. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a one verse of 268. 268. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. I trust you'll do that tonight, friend. The path of sin too long you've trod. Now I'm coming home. I wasted many precious years. You'll agree you've done that tonight. If you're not saved. But now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home tonight. Friend, why did you make that your prayer tonight and mean it? Say, Lord, I'm going to come home tonight. I'm going to trust you tonight. I'm tired of my sin. Do that and tell us about it. We'd like to know to rejoice with you. We're just going to sing the first verse and the chorus, and the meeting's going to be over 268.